In this part of Focus 580, we will return to a topic we've talked about a couple of times here recently, and that is electric utility deregulation. We wanted to do another program here from a really critical perspective, and we certainly found one by going to the Public Citizen Critical Mass Energy and Environment Program. And we'll be talking this morning with Tyson Slocum. He's a senior researcher there and is responsible for generating a number of the papers and reports that they've written. They have a website. You can go there and you can find them. But just to read from one, which looks at what they call the 10 myths of utility deregulation, to let you know where they're coming from, the report starts like this. If the purpose of deregulation is really to improve the quality of people's lives by lowering the cost of a critical commodity, it is obviously failing miserably, as demonstrated in California. And then, of course, it goes on from there, and we will talk about it here with Tyson Slocum. And, of course, questions are welcome. The number, if you'd like to call, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana folks. We do also have a toll-free line, so if you're listening around Illinois, Indiana, any place the signal will travel, use the toll-free line, and we will pay for the call. And that is 800-222-9455. So 333-WILL and toll-free 800-222-WILL. Mr. Slocum, hello.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and thanks very much for talking with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Your folks feel that not only has deregulation not been successful in California, maybe that's the worst example, but you would say that you don't think it's been successful, or has it been successful anyplace?
Well, full deregulation hasn't occurred anywhere but California, and we definitely believe that once other states like Illinois become fully deregulated, in Illinois' case by 2002, the same problems that are going on in California are going to be happening across this country. And that's because true competition will never occur in a deregulated electric utility market. And that's what's causing all the problems right now, is a complete lack of competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, I'm sure that people who would speak in favor of deregulation would say that that indeed was what should happen and what will happen. They'd say, you know, well, all we're doing is here is we're opening up so that users, big industrial users, residential people can choose. They'll have some choice of people to supply power. And then, of course, companies can compete to supply power. And the idea always is more competition means lower rates. You're suggesting that that will not happen.
Yeah, that won't happen, because the nature of the electric utility industry is such that competition can't occur. The high overhead costs that it takes to become a player in the market are prohibitively high, and that's the problem that you're seeing right now in California. And what we're going to be seeing across this country is that just a handful of companies are going to be calling the shots. Right now, that's what's going on in California. Just a couple of very large energy companies own all the power plants. They decide what price electricity is going to be, and they decide how much electricity to produce. So essentially what deregulation has done is taken all the authority of controlling electricity away from the state and into the hands of these few corporations.
I want to talk about some of the items that you cite as the myths of deregulation, and the very first one is one that in the reporting on what's happened in California we hear a lot, and that is some people say, well, the problem really was not so much deregulation as deregulation, but deregulation the way they did it in California. And further, they say it's not, we needed more deregulation and not less. The problem being that they continued to keep a cap on the prices that individuals were paying, so their bills couldn't the rates couldn't go up, but that the rates that the power companies were paying, if they had to acquire electricity that they would then sell, that the caps were taken off that completely. So as I hear people talking about it, it's as if we passed a law that said the price of beef could go as high as anybody was willing to pay, but the price of a Big Mac could never go up. And that's the problem that the power companies in California faced. I think your take on that is that's not correct at all.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, California's consumers were lied to During the initial debate when California passed their deregulation law in 1996, proponents of deregulation said that the competition was going to cut consumers' electric bills by about 20%. Now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, I guess we don't have true competition. In order for competition to occur, consumers' rates are going to have to significantly increase. They're talking about increases of 300, 400, 500% on consumers. That's outrageous. Essentially, what happened in California is that the wholesale market, the corporations that produce the electricity through their power plants, that price is completely unregulated. Government has no say in how much that electricity should be. The only thing, David, as you mentioned, that is regulated is the prices that consumers pay, and those prices will be frozen until 2002 unless the legislature reneges on their deal. And so that's essentially what's happened here is that the prices that that power sells for is unregulated, but the prices which utilities can charge consumers in their electric bills is. And what folks like Dick Cheney and George Bush and other proponents of deregulation are saying is that, well, consumers, these rate caps, these protections that are keeping consumers' bills from skyrocketing, those need to be removed so that consumers start paying for the true market cost of electricity, which, as I mentioned, is around 400% higher than what they're paying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in this report, just to, this is an amazing thing. I'm pardon for interrupting you, but in this report, you write that if the if people were actually paying the real costs, the average residential monthly consumer who before regulation was paying about $55 a month, would this when this winter when the prices were at their highest, they would have been paying $600 a month or in that vicinity.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what's so outrageous about this whole situation is that this is not. This jump from $55 to over $600 does not reflect the true cost of electricity. What this reflects is profiteering going on. The cost of producing electricity has not increased that much in the last 12 months. What that represents is that under deregulation, these companies have tremendous incentives to artificially drive the price of electricity up, and asking consumers to pay for that profiteering is unacceptable. So it's something that Public Citizen feels is going to happen in Illinois and in other states unless lawmakers take a hard look at deregulation and realize that citizens had it pretty good under a regulated market.
You did talk about the fact that in California there then the regulation on the rates that individuals are paying, that would be in place until 2002. That's just next year. Is it looking ahead? Do people think that if the legislature there in California doesn't extend that, are we expecting, or those people in California, should they expect a big increase in what they pay for electricity?
Well, unfortunately, with the way that the governor and the legislature are moving, it looks like they will be paying for it. Maybe not directly through a rate increase, but through other indirect ways. I mean, right now, the legislature has approved and the governor has signed allocation of over $10 billion of taxpayer-guaranteed revenue bonds to start purchasing electricity on this wholesale market. And so that is money that taxpayers are gonna have to pay back at some point. And now they're talking about a further bailout scheme for the utilities. So it looks like the ratepayers are going to be paying for it either through tax increases or some other indirect way. And that's the real troubling aspect of deregulation is that consumers are the ones who are going to end up paying for all these costs while a handful of corporations make out like bandits. The nine major out-of-state corporations that are participating in the California market. These are the nine corporations that own and control the power plants that are supplying California's electricity, saw their profits jump last year. They made over $7.7 billion in after-tax profits in year 2000. That was 54% higher than they had made in 1999. So these couple of companies are doing very, very well, and we think that they are profiting off of a crisis, and we think that that is really unreasonable. That's why we're calling on the federal government to get involved. The federal government is the only entity that has the legal authority to control these wholesale prices of electricity. They're the only entity that can put a wholesale cap on the price of electricity as it comes out of a power plant. And so far, the Cheney-Bush administration says that they will not even consider such a move. And we've taken a look at some of the campaign contributions that the Cheney-Bush administration has received, and they've received millions of dollars from these same owners of these power plants, three of which are Houston, Texas-based companies. So these power producers have been actively supporting the Bush-Cheney administration, and they're the ones who are making the big profits right now in California.
We have a couple of callers here. First up is someone calling from a car phone, so we'll get right to them. This is line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and tell your guest that he's right on the money, so to speak. I have family who lives in California, and I've just been hearing horror stories from them about what's going on out there, and I'm just wondering what we can do, if there's anything we can do at this point to keep this from happening in Illinois. I've been contacting the ICC, and I just wondered if your guest has been aware of the fact that horrible things are also going on here in Illinois already. I know several weeks ago there was a big thing in the paper about our local utility moaning and groaning about how there really isn't anything they can do to stop these prices, but that same paper buried way on the last page of the business section a tiny little article talking about Illinois Power's parent company, who last year more than doubled its profits. I think if anything is truly obscene, it's that. And I just wonder if he has suggestions for what we might do here in Illinois to keep this from happening, and I'll keep listening. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Yeah, well, I think the caller raises some excellent points and makes asks a very good question. What can the citizens of Illinois or any other state do? Well, right now there is time for you to contact your elected officials. You know, the most important thing you have to remember is that we live in a democracy, and that those politicians should be beholden to the citizens and not necessarily just to special interests, as they have been explicitly in California. And so you've got to write your state representative and your state senator, write them a letter, send them an email, get them on the phone, and tell them that you don't want to cede power over to a couple of corporations, that you like having the state regulating the price and regulating the availability of electricity. That's the most important thing you can do. She mentioned that she'd also contacted the ICC, that's the Illinois Commerce Commission, which is the state agency that currently regulates utilities. So contacting them as well, and also contacting the governor.
I hope that gets at the question of the call. Let's continue. I think we have somebody else here. And on the toll-free line, I believe that's Bloomington, Indiana. This is line number four. Hello?
Yes. A couple of questions. There are some power distributors in California, we're talking about California, that are going bankrupt. They're faced with bankruptcy. So somehow this cannot be capitalism run amok. Otherwise, the capitalists wouldn't be going bankrupt. Second question, you may want to answer that one.
Sure. Well, what the caller is referring to are the two California utilities, Southern California Edison and PG&E. They were the ones who were the utilities that previously, before deregulation, had a regulated monopoly. They were the ones that owned all the power plants that transmitted that power over their own transmission lines and then sold them to the consumers. And they ended up reluctantly supporting deregulation because they got an enormous amount of excellent benefits out of deregulation, the biggest one being $18 billion in something called stranded cost bailouts. Essentially what that is these utilities had taken out essentially mortgage payments to buy very expensive nuclear power plants and other expensive projects in the 1970s. And they had brokered a deal with the legislature in 96 to have consumers pay off all of their mortgage payments to the tune of $18 billion. These utilities then used that money to send it back to their parent companies, who then made tremendous amounts of investments, billions of dollars, in some of their new high-growth subsidiaries, buying power plants in England, in New Zealand, in Thailand, and other places. So they were expanding their portfolio. So these companies were doing very well. What happened, as the caller alludes to, is that they were simply outfoxed and outmaneuvered by even bigger energy companies like Enron, like Duke, like Southern Company, like Dynegy, like Reliant Energy. And these companies are the ones who bought the utilities power plants, and they ended up just simply outmaneuvering them. And because the utilities could not pass on their higher costs to consumers, they were left holding the bill. But they aren't necessarily going bankrupt because, you know, as I mentioned, they profited greatly under the first couple years of deregulation. They sent all the money out of California to these international subsidiaries that are now performing very, very well. So before these utilities are allowed to go bankrupt and before they stick California consumers with the bill, they need to go back to their parent companies and sell off some of these recent purchases that they made just in the last year, worth billions of dollars, and use that to pay off some of their debts.
Well, I'm not an expert in bankruptcy law.
Uh-huh.
But if they are indeed, if these companies, these electrical distributors in California are indeed subsidiaries of larger companies, they cannot go bankrupt in many jurisdictions. And under, I don't know what California bankruptcy law says. But if they are a legal subsidiary of a larger company, they can't just simply send that money to their larger company and then have their subsidiary declare bankruptcy when the money actually exists to pay off their debts. That wouldn't be allowed, at least in most jurisdictions. I don't know what California bankruptcy law says, but that stinks.
Yeah. Well, essentially, what we've got is some very creative accounting that's going on, and the utilities, they publicly claim that they have not sent their money off, but it's very easy for folks to connect the dots.
Well, it's easy then for a court to collect the dots, too.
Exactly, and that's what is going to be fought over in court. But I'm sure that the utilities are going to make sure that it's going to be a long, drawn-out, expensive fight.
Have another question.
Yes, sir.
There's some environmentalist obstruction going on in California about building new power plants. Apparently now, California obviously has been gaining population. There has been a greater demand for power, power demand growing in California, but environmentalist obstruction to building new power plants. So obviously, they have not been expanding the source of electricity, but they have been expanding the demand for electricity, not without expanding the supply of electricity. That would normally make the price of electricity go up.
Well, yes, I'd like to comment on the gentleman's point, and I think that there is a lot of misinformation that has been thrown around out there regarding that somehow California's strong environmental standards have been the big barrier to new plant construction. The first rebuttal to that point that I'd like to make is that under deregulation, there is tremendous incentive for the owners of power plants to take those plants offline, to kind of temporarily shut them off. The reason is because it's like any other industry. If your product becomes scarce, you can drive the price up of your product. And that's what's going on right now. The Wall Street Journal published a report that this summer, essentially 1 year after deregulation started, there was 461% more power plants offline for undisclosed reasons than a year before. So in the summer of 2000, there was 461% more power plants offline. What that indicates is that these power plant owners are intentionally shutting down power plants to squelch supply and drive up the price of their product. They can make more money running fewer power plants. So that's one thing. And another thing is that the California utilities actively blocked the construction of new power plants. The California Public Utilities Commission in the early 90s put out a report predicting that new power plants had to be constructed. But because the details of the deregulation bill had yet to be worked out, various companies blocked these proposals to build new plants until the final details of the bill were sorted out. That's why you didn't see any of the go-aheads for these power plants begin until 1998. And so there was like a two-year delay in the building of new power plants, mostly because of the objections of the California utilities.
Well, now, what I hear you saying,
yes,
is that the utilities themselves have resisted building more power plants, and the environmentalists are not involved. There has been some environmentalist obstruction to building new power plants in California, as I understand.
Yes, there are. Well, they're not only environmentalists. Some of them are community activists.
Yeah.
Because in California, as in any state, if there is a proposal to build a power plant in an area, the neighbors, the people who live in that area, have a right to lodge a protest against the building of that power plant, and to make sure that all of their concerns about emissions are going to be answered.
Well,
you know, building a power plant is not just like building a restaurant or a parking lot or something like that. Anytime you're generating power, it is polluting. Even if you've got something called so-called clean natural gas, it is still pumping out emissions. And you know, this is a democracy, and we should not ever criticize the rights of people living in a community to have a great deal of say over what kinds of projects get placed in their backyards.
I'm not criticizing them.
They
have a perfect right to oppose a power plant.
Yes.
But if they're going to oppose a power plant, there's several things that have to be true.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there has to be some power provider somewhere who wants to build one.
Yes.
In other words, it's not the power providers who are objecting to building the power plants. There's somebody who wants to build one, and there are the environmentalists or the residents who have a perfect right to object, and they are objecting. Now, when they object, they have to understand that the price of their power is going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get a power plant in their neighborhood, and they paid for it by having a higher price of power, maybe scarcity of power.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is as I was saying before, sir, is you know, just last week, about 11,000 megawatts. That's enough power to power about 20 different towns, was offline due to undisclosed reasons.
Oh.
And this is the big problem under deregulation, is that the government, the state government of California, no longer has the authority to tell those power companies, hey, you need to put that power plant, you need to start it up again and start producing electricity. Under deregulation, the government ceded all control and authority over the supply of power and the price of power. And that's the main problem, and that's our primary criticism with deregulation, is that it places far too much control in the hands of a few corporations. And that's what we're seeing right now in California. There are thousands of megawatts. These are this morning, the California agency that reports on this information, there's over 30 power plants that are shut down right now with no explanation as to why they're shut down. These were unscheduled shutdowns, and the state has no legal right to force these power plant owners to put their plants back online. So before California starts suspending their environmental laws or suspending the rights of citizens to protest what gets built in their backyard, we need to start investigating why it is that these power plant owners are taking their plants offline. That should be the main priority, not criticizing environmentalists and people who are concerned about their communities.
We are a little past the midpoint here. I should introduce our guest again. We're speaking with Tyson Slocum. He's a senior researcher with Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy and Environment Program. They, by the way, have a website with a lot of information on the various things that Public Citizen is interested in, the organization is interested in, including electric utility deregulation. And if you have internet access, you can go there and you can read some of the papers and news releases that they have put out. And, of course, your questions here are welcome. In Champaign, Urbana, where we are, 333-9455. That's the number to call. We do also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, around Illinois, Indiana, any place the signal will travel. That's 800 1-800-222-9455. Next caller up is Belgium, line number one. Hello.
Hello. You were suggesting, sir, that really the power companies have the massive control, and the only group that can stop them is the federal government. But I take exception with you, sir, in that we, the consumers, can stop them very quickly. Just look at your night sky at night, and you'll see that there's way too much electricity just being thrown out into no place. If we stop consuming, they stop making money, everybody. So, you know, why don't we start on that level also, instead of just telling people it's all the power plant's problems, we ourselves are causing the problem by demanding so much electricity and so much freedom to roam the night skies, or the night streets, I guess I should say, not the night skies. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sure. I think the caller makes an excellent point. Regardless of whether or not there's an energy crisis going on, it is always an important concept to urge conservation and do anything we can to have heavier reliance on renewable energy technologies like wind and solar. But the caller's absolutely right. I mean, everybody can always look at things that they do in their day-to-day routine that uses less electricity and to do what we can to provide incentives to update weatherization of our homes and other kind of energy conservation habits.
All right, let's go to Peoria for someone else here. Line two. Hello.
Yes. During the Carter administration, he had solar panels put in the White House. When Reagan got to be president, he had them all ripped out. Now, they can use solar panels. They can use wind power. They can use water power. What happened?
What happened was that a lot of the common sense ideas that the Carter administration had put out, a lot of the lessons that America was starting to learn from our serious energy crisis in the 70s were just thrown out the window. And again, the caller makes an excellent point that that the state can do a lot of things to encourage energy conservation and renewable technologies, and individuals and businesses can do more to conserve energy. It is pretty sad that it looks like the United States is almost going back to an early 70s energy policy where, you know, we drive around in SUV trucks and we think that opening up the Arctic Reserve to more drilling is the answer. All of these supply-side problems without first looking at demand-side problems.
I understand that Illinois alone has 11 nuclear-operated power plants. Is that correct?
You know, sir, I don't know what the exact number of nuclear power plants in Illinois are, but I know that they've got more than their fair share, and you know, that's also an issue. I mean, nuclear power, in addition to being a very expensive form of energy, it's also very unclear as to whether or not it's really safe.
Now, here in Peoria, they had Silco. Back in 1974, the stock was selling for $13 a share. What they did is they wanted to sell the power plant to another company, and they offered the people that had the stock $83 a share.
Wow.
And that's the reason the people went ahead and sold it. You can't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We have some other callers here. Apparently someone was interested in the website of the Public Citizen. I did mention they have one, and why don't I just go ahead and give that. The organization is based in Washington, D.C., and it's very simple. If you just go to www.citizen.org, you'll find them. We have other people here waiting, and we'll just continue. The next caller will be Shumway, line three. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I was wondering what the level of expertise of the guest is. Why should we think he knows a great deal of what he's talking about?
Sure. Well, I've been working on energy and economic issues for a number of years. Public Citizen has been involved in the energy debate for decades. So if you want some more, I don't know how much more detail you want on my personal credentials. But
Are you an engineer? Or are you?
No, I'm not an engineer. I am a policy expert here, and so I deal with policy. I could not tell you exactly how a turbine works, or I could not write up a plan to build one.
Okay, you're a wonk, as they say.
Yes, I guess so.
Okay, and are you California-based?
No, our organization is based in Washington, D.C.
I see. Well, I wanted to make a couple comments here now that I'm a little more understanding.
It would really help us, sir, if you could speak up.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, I wanted to make a couple comments now that I understand where we're at. Generally speaking, most of what the guest has said is not quite as informative as the things that have been on various other television programs. Yet, obviously, he's in the ballpark in many ways. I would encourage trying to uncover exactly the steps of how this occurred in California in much more detail than anybody's been able to do, I guess, or at least disseminate so far. And I would also encourage stopping dragging in the Bush-Cheney names at this point. I think it's going to turn a lot of people off. All of these things, if they were going to be uncovered and dealt with, should have been uncovered and dealt with way before the past campaigns and elections. I don't think that's going to be helpful at all. The other idea to put forward here, I think, is the questions of following the money and comprehending which layers of which politicians, presumably they were involved, was involved, particularly out in California. I think that's really where it needs to be studied and illustrated and demonstrated. I don't think trying to link the rise of SUVs, which all occurred in the last 8 to 10 years, didn't it? Or was it 6 to 8 years? To link that in with words of relative to Bush and Cheney is just another liberal wacko thing, in my opinion. And whether I'm right or wrong, I think it's going to turn a lot of people off, and I suggest you stop dragging them into it.
Well, actually, they have dragged themselves into this issue. The federal role, sir, plays a very large potential role in the California energy crisis. Through a federal agency called the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the federal government is the sole entity that can control the wholesale price of electricity in California and nearly every other state. Right now, that is the sole problem in California. As I had mentioned, prices on the electricity wholesale market have increased 276% from 1999. That is an unbelievable jump in price. And now that the California taxpayers are allocating up to $10 billion in taxpayer-backed revenue bonds to start purchasing electricity from this overpriced wholesale market, it is entirely relevant to mention that the federal government has a duty and a responsibility to put a cap on these wholesale prices. But the Bush-Cheney administration has come out publicly and said they will never do such an act. And I think that that is extremely irresponsible and very important to mention. And also the fact that there is strong bipartisan support for such federal action. 8 of the 11 Western Region governors, which include 4 out of the 7 Republican governors of the Western states, have come out strongly urging the Bush-Cheney administration to enact a wholesale rate cap. 2 very conservative Republican representatives in Congress from California, Duncan Hunter and Duke Cunningham, have sponsored a bill that would set a wholesale rate cap. But still, the Bush and Cheney administration has failed to do so. So I do take issue with the fact that I will continue to mention the Bush administration's lack of leadership on energy policy.
We're just heading into our last 15 minutes. Actually, we have less than 15 minutes. We have 3 other callers, and I hope the caller will forgive me for going on. And I do, however, again, want to introduce our guest. We're talking with Tyson Slocum. He's a senior researcher with Public Citizen's Critical Mass Energy and Environment Program, that group based in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about electric utility deregulation. Questions, welcome, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. We have another caller up next on line number one in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have some questions for the caller, three, and I'll try and make them brief. The first one is in terms of competition. Under the Illinois deregulation plan, those stranded costs, i.e. picking up the costs of out-of-date or mortgage, heavily mortgaged nuclear plants, which we're going to have to bear, are only going to be shared out by people who choose other than the established utilities. So my question there is, if you choose a competitor, you have to pay those stranded costs. What does that do to competition? The second one, and by the way, Illinois Power is owned by Dynegy, which is one of the Houston moguls in the California situation. The second one is that if you choose a competitor, a so-called competitor, whom we hope show up, you're going to have to pay not only the competitor, but you're going to have to pay Illinois Power, who owns the lines to my home. I wonder what that does to competition. And finally, is there anybody who's studying the Illinois situation directly for Citizen whom we could talk to? Those are my questions.
Sure. I think the caller raises some excellent questions about whether or not competition will be able to arise in Illinois. And it sounds as though the Illinois law has been crafted with the existing utilities and companies in mind, and it everything from making sure that new competitors would have to, their consumers would have to pay stranded costs, make it sound like achieving true competition in the Illinois marketplace is going to be next to impossible. And we do work with several organizations in Illinois. Public Citizen does not have a direct affiliate in the state, but if you've got internet access, you can go to our website, www.citizen.org, and find the Critical Mass homepage. And on that homepage, you will find an email address. Send me an email, and I'll be happy to send you any of our local contact information. Or you can reach me by phone at in Washington, D.C. at 202-546-4996. But as
546?
Yeah, 546-4996.
Thanks.
And that's 202 area code.
Thanks.
And the caller does make an excellent point that, because I don't know the exact situation when Illinois' deregulation bill was passed, but I do know the situation in a number of other states. And typically the deregulation laws had heavy influence from the existing utilities and from their lobbyists, and that they probably played a very active role in crafting the legislation. And so that would indicate that it's not going to be very consumer friendly.
Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And maybe also I would mention, for the benefit of people here listening in Illinois, the consumer organization here in this state that people might want to get in touch with and has to do with utilities is the Citizens Utility Board. And they're based in Chicago. They also have a presence on the web. And I believe there, if people were interested in some background information on the utility deregulation law here in the state that was passed, I believe, in 1997.
Yeah, that's correct.
Is available there. And I think even I was looking at their website recently, and I think you can actually even look at the text of the legislation or a summary of it to get an idea about what it does. Let me go on here to Terre Haute, line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'm finding this discussion very interesting, and I thank you for giving us an opportunity to hear someone actually explain some of these fine points of what's going on so that maybe the rest of us will understand it. I would like to point out, I think a while ago you had a caller on there that seem to think that maybe this was a politically motivated thing. I believe that Carter initiated some things on deregulation. I don't think he ever intended it to go where it has. I think Reagan carried it a bit farther, and then Bush took the ball, ran it across the goal line, clear up into the 45th row of seats. But there was a point made a while ago that I think is a very important point, and I think perhaps many people have never really understood it. Waldo F. Mitchell wrote several books in the early part of the last century about economics. And he discussed the theories of economics of plenty and economics of scarcity. And what we've been in for several years, where utilities are concerned, is an economics of plenty. And now we're turning into an economics of scarcity. From the point of capitalists, a capitalist could either operate on or under either of those economic theories and be successful under either of them. It's just a choice of who has control and who's doing the planning. But there's no question that foreign interests have, in many instances, and I think energy is one of them, played a far more important role in our national politics than our national interest. And that's really about all that I have to say, but that's the way it looks to me.
Well, let's get a comment from the guest. Mr. Slogan?
Yeah, I think the caller makes an excellent point. I mean, there's no question that sometimes specific, very well-funded interests push their agenda over the national interest or a state or a regional interest. And I think that is what's going on right now in the energy industry. The caller also mentioned that that deregulation was initiated under the Carter administration, and he is correct. The first federal legislation that kind of put the ball rolling was in 1978. And, of course, I do agree with his statements that I don't think they could have foreseen the negative consequences from that first initial push. But it clearly has been a wrong-headed policy. And its implementation in California is really bearing that out, that that consumers are going to end up paying for this.
We have 2-3 minutes left. We have several callers. We'll try to get at least a couple. Next caller is in Iowa, right here, line number 2. Hello.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
I guess I've got in mind, seems like a similar situation to the SNL debacle a few years back. And the stranded costs still confuses me. You say they paid, the state paid $18 billion for stranded costs?
The consumers paid $18 billion. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And what did they assume? Did they assume control over power stations then for that $18 billion?
They got nothing in return. That is the outrageous part of deregulation and something that another caller said is going on, it will be happening in Illinois now, is that consumer, under deregulation, this whole stranded cost bailout occurred because the utility said, okay, listen, we're giving up our monopoly, which has provided us with a very consistent rate of return for a profit under this regulated monopoly structure. Under deregulation, we're going to be assuming marketplace risk, and the future of our rate of return is unknown.
Yeah, and
so in exchange for assuming that marketplace risk, the utilities said, we need the consumers to pay off our mortgage payments so we'll have more free money to improve our competitive nature. And so that's exactly what happened, was that consumers ended up paying off the mortgage payments in order to start deregulation.
So we were
completely against it because we felt that the shareholders of these companies should be the ones liable for the mortgage payments, not...
The consumers just ended up with the mortgage, but then in the future when they retire these nuclear power plants, the consumers and the taxpayers will be responsible for the cleanup costs on the nuclear power plants.
I'm sure that probably will happen, but that is one of the biggest outrages of deregulation, is that consumers paid the mortgage payments but don't get the house in return. You know,
I'm also I've been hearing that Los Angeles is one of the few utility producers that is not experiencing these troubles, and they happen to be like a publicly owned or municipally owned source of power.
The caller has hit on an incredibly important point, and that is that there are 30 communities in California, including the city of Los Angeles and the capital city of Sacramento, that have publicly owned and publicly controlled power. That's where the city owns the power plants, the city owns the transmission, and the city sells that power to its citizens.
Well, wouldn't it follow logically then that a publicly owned utility is the way to go?
Absolutely. Right now in California, the public utilities are, for the most part, able to offer rates at about 10% lower than those customers living in a region that's being serviced by a privately run utility. And the bottom line here is that that's because the under deregulation, the privately owned utilities, their main incentive is to serve their shareholders, to increase their profits, whereas the publicly owned utilities, their only incentive is to serve their customers with reliable and affordable energy.
We are going to have to stop, I'm sorry to say, because we're at the end of the time. We have some people, I apologize, that we can't take. I'm sure, though, this is something we'll continue to talk about in the future. In fact, we are talking about doing a program to discuss the issue of publicly owned utilities. So maybe we'll get back at least to that part. But for the moment, we'll have to say to our guest, Tyson Slocum, Senior Researcher, Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy and Environment Program. Mr. Slocum, thanks very much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you, David. I appreciate it.